As I was writing this thing, I always assumed I would be, you know, Gideon the nerd that takes over, and about halfway through is like, I don't know if I have this in me. I need someone with like an air of confidence about them, and as you may notice, my affect, like the way I move through the world, is like I've constantly just stepped on someone's foot accidentally. Pardon me, my bad, you know. So I said, like, who can I get? Who? And in swoops my knight in shining armor, who just arrived from Ellis Island. I don't know if you'll see it, but he is directing a play called Too Many Hitlers, which he also wrote as a part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, and just a really super talented guy, and I can't thank him enough for all he did to, you know, make my dream come true of this show. How about a big hand for Steve Benequist?
I was so honored when you contacted me because, you know, Gary and Jane and I and a lot of other people you're going to see tonight go back a long way. We're doing open mics together starting in the late 90s. And I have long enjoyed their jokes. And just I was cracking up reading the scripts. So you're going to love this series. And I think I'm pretty great for it until I hear my own voice. And I'm like, God damn, I send him so many more takes. Like, you could do it this way or that way. But my storytelling contribution to tonight will be kind of be a pastiche, a little collage. Radio has meant a lot to me in my life. On road trips with my family, my dad would play old cassettes of like The Shadow. And like before there was television, radio was the storytelling medium. And that was kind of forgotten then, and there was no internet to look it up on in the 80s. But we would listen to it on long car rides, and it was great. And then I got to college, and I also loved music. And I, even though I knew I wanted to get into comedy, I had a radio show for most of my 4 years in college, but I barely spoke. And by the way, like people will say to me, "Hey, you have a good voice for radio. You should do that." And I'm like, "Yeah, I had a radio show, but you could, like, if you were to search through the tapes, you'd find me like begrudgingly listing the songs after they're there." I'm like, "No one listening to radio wants to hear the damn DJ. Just play the songs." And I did do a couple of creative things. I mixed my love of hip-hop and jazz and comedy. I played, you know, 12 Inches have like an instrumental version of the song as well. I once played Chi Ali's Funky Lemonade instrumental with the moose hunting story by Woody Allen simultaneously. And I got some calls, people like that. I like that. There might be a tape somewhere. After that, I was in an improv group, a groundbreaking improv group formed in 2000 that for about 15 years we would do improvised old-time radio shows, so like The Shadow and all that. And it was a real groovy affair. And besides that, in my life, the person who most symbolizes radio, and for me, public radio is a big thing, my uncle, my mother's only brother, only sibling, was a jazz DJ on a publicly funded station in Louisville, Kentucky. And Uncle Phil, he was raised in Maine, but his mother was from Kentucky, and he went to Kentucky as soon as he was of age. And he had this big voice and kind of a big drawl. This is Phil Bailey, not to be confused with slow jam artist Philip Bailey. And Phil Bailey, he had a very pranksterish way about him. Like, you know, it's public radio, and you can feel that difference. Corporate radio is great, you hear your hits, but to know that someone is choosing the songs, really, you can feel the difference, you know, even if they don't talk much. I love hearing Henry Rollins every Sunday on KCRW. I love the eclectic. You know, I would play everything, too, on my show. But Uncle Phil would sometimes fuck with his audience by, like, you know, he'd have been doing it for 20 years, and he would just pick a theme. It's like certain songs that there are probably like 952 versions of My Funny Valentine. And like if he was doing a show on Valentine's Day, he would play 2 hours of just different versions of My Funny Valentine. In fact, as a child, he had access to audio equipment. This is in the 50s, unusual. He had a reel-to-reel. And to torture my mom, his little sister, he gave their family dog Pucho some peanut butter, put the mic right up to Pucho's snout, and recorded him going, Can we turn up the volume a little bit? Because that's what he did. He put it underneath her bed, let her fall asleep, and then played the sound of a dog eating peanut butter at top volume, scaring the shit out of my poor mother as a child. Anyway, my uncle, he would send me CDs. He had a CD player before anyone else did, 1983. He was the fittest member of my family, like always kept in shape, and he came to visit me, the only adult member of my family to see me do sketch comedy. I was at the Acme back when that was the only game in town. There was no UCB, besides Groundlings, of course, was the other one. And Groundlings and then Acme. But he came and saw me, and we said a rather emotional goodbye. We weren't that close, and he died 2 weeks later of a massive heart failure in his sleep. As far as the theme of the show is that the night a DJ saved my life, a year ago, before I did this play last year, I did a one-man show called Tony Danza's Letters to Tupac, An Evening with Tony Danza, which I wrote, Tony Danza doing his one-man show made up about the true fact that he wrote letters to Tupac when Tupac was in prison. So I made up their whole correspondence. There was a real correspondence. I didn't have access to it, so I made it up. But I had titled it cleverly enough that I got a call, and I ignored it because I thought it might be a creditor. Turns out it was John Raby from KPCC's Off-Ramp. He called me personally. There is his voice that I hear every Saturday. Anyone listen to the show? Yeah, he's great. And he invited me to come yammer about my show. So he didn't save my life, but he did boost ticket sales of my show. So support your public radio and support this. Let's Get It On. It's hilarious. You're going to love it. Let's hear it for Gary Lucy, everybody. Thank you.
Venequist, everybody. I'm back. Steve, I've been hearing your voice in my headphones all week because I edit some of the show. You're great, man. I feel like it sounds like an insult to say he's got a real voice for radio because that's like kind of his map to an insult, but you do. You have a great voice for radio. It's a pleasure to work with you. I'm a